Good morning. Let us think together for the next few moments about God's love for man. I confess to you in the very outset that there are at least two dangers in dealing with this subject. In the first place, there's the danger of falling so far short of the demand of this subject. To think of the love of God indeed is a challenging idea. Many poets have attempted to explain or to express the love of God, and usually they conclude with the idea that it is too marvelous for expression. For instance, one ancient Jewish poet said, "Could I with ink the ocean fill, were the earth of parchment made, and every blade of grass a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, and the world as a whole could not contain the scroll, though it stretched from sky to sky." In essence, God's love is too great and too marvelous for adequate expression. There is a second danger in discussing this subject of God's love for man, and that is the danger of becoming presumptuous or of imposing on God's love, imagining that we can treat God's love and His will any way we want and still escape the consequences of sin through the magnificent love of Almighty God. But let us see the truth pertaining to this subject as set forth in the Scriptures. There's a familiar passage in John 3 that we surely must consider. Beginning with verse 14, the Bible says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." With this thought in mind and this passage in our hearts, let us compare it to a statement made in Romans chapter 5 by an inspired apostle of Jesus Christ. He, too, discussed the great love of God. Beginning with verse 6, Paul wrote, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Note that statement in verse 8. God demonstrates his own love toward us. Let us now compare two passages, John 3 and Romans 5, and try to gain a greater appreciation of the truth that God really does love mankind. First, we get some insight into the power and the value of God's love when we consider that from which we have been saved by the love of God. Jesus used the word perish in John 3. Whoever believes in him should not perish. But what does the Lord mean by the word perish? Some people have the idea, because they've been taught this, that the word perish is synonymous with annihilation, that when Jesus talks in terms of perishing, he means to go out of existence. The best way I know for us to get before us what he really means by the word perish is to see how the Lord used this same word in other passages. In Matthew 9 and verse 17, he said, "Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." Does Jesus mean to say, with regard to the bottles perishing, that they go out of existence? No, certainly not. The bottles are not annihilated when they are broken, but rather they lose their usefulness. In that sense, they perish. That's the significance of the word perish. And, as it's used in John 3, it does not mean annihilation. It means that one incurs the loss of eternal life and is delivered up to eternal misery at the judgment day. God created us to live with him forever, but because of hardened hearts or unrepented sin, we lost our usefulness for his purpose. When we compare what it means to perish in John 3 with Paul's statement in Romans 5, we understand that to perish means that we will be ultimately subjected to the wrath of God. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. This is a simple explanation of what it means to perish. It means to be subjected to the wrath of God, and through a proper response to God's love, we can be saved from this. In the second place, we get an insight into the nature of the love of God when we consider that by which we are saved from the sin and for heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And here, in Romans 5, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Do you appreciate the fact that Jesus Christ died for you, that he shed his blood for your sins? Isaiah said, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Isaiah 53, verse 5. Here's an interesting passage. It is found in 1 John 4, and verse 10. John said, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." This word, propitiation, corresponds to the Old Testament idea of atonement. It literally means to cover over. Implicit in the idea is the fact that our sins are covered over from God's sight. God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or to cover our sins over from God's sight, which is another way of saying that through Jesus Christ we may obtain remission of our sin. Forgiveness, redemption, justification are all things we receive through the proper response to Jesus Christ. Friends, the death of the Son of God is a historical fact. Jesus Christ, at a point in history, suffered and bled and died on the old rugged cross. The crucifixion of the Son of God is not a fable, which was concocted in the fertile imagination of the minds of the apostles. No, the death of Christ literally and actually happened, and in the death of Jesus Christ we see the real love that God has for us. It took a marvelous love, it took an amazing love for God to permit his Son to leave the glory of heaven to be made in the likeness of men. It took tremendous love for God to stand aside and let that lawless mob, without mercy or compassion, to brutally nail his Son to the cross. It took amazing love for God to withhold the mighty host of heaven when Jesus said, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" God could have dispatched the armies of heaven to rescue his Son from the shame and the horror of Calvary. But he didn't. And do you know why? Because he loved us. Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15. But in the third place, we get an insight into God's marvelous love when we consider that for which we are saved by God's love. Not only that from which we have been saved, but also that for which we are saved by God's love. Jesus identified that for which we are saved as eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let me assure you, in the light of the teaching of God's Word, that eternal life involves far more than eternal existence. In fact, the Bible makes it plain that eternal life consists of glory and of honor and immortality. Paul said in Romans 2:5-11, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also to the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of person with God." Now please note, to those who by perseverance in good doing seek for, 1, glory, 2, honor, and 3, immortality or eternal life. Eternal life then is immortality, or living forever in glory and honor. Glory and honor which God himself shall bestow, for us to be identified as the very sons of God, is indeed glory and honor. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3:1-2. And for God to say to us and about us on that great day of judgment, "Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world," will be a significant honor. For us to be welcomed home to glory will be honor and glory also. Heaven is described in the Bible not only as an eternal place, but also as a beautiful place, a place where God shall be eternally, a place where Christ shall be forever with his redeemed ones, a place where God shall wipe away all tears from eyes, for there shall be no more sorrow, no pain, no crying, no death. The former things shall have passed away. This inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that will never fade away, is reserved in heaven according to the Holy Spirit through the pen of the Apostle Peter. 1 Peter 1:3-5. What does it mean to have eternal life? It means far more than to live forever. It means to live forever in glory and honor, a glory and honor which God Himself shall bestow. All of this has been made possible by the love of God. My friends, God loves you more than words can ever tell. My advice to you, realizing that God loved you first, is love Him back. And the way we show our love for Him is to obey Him. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. 1 John 5, verse 3. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14, 15. One of the commandments of our Lord, the one who puts us into Christ, where salvation is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2, 38. Romans 6 teaches that this is when we first begin to walk in newness of life. If there is any way we can help you in your decision to obey your Lord, please let us know. Until next week, may God bless and keep you.